world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I must be one of the few guys in America say, thank God it's Monday. Thank God it's Monday. I get to get back in here and rub shoulders with the crew out there. God bless you, man. I pray you had a great weekend. Welcome back to what they call Holy Week, whatever that even means anymore, and what that even means in tradition. We're not going to get too deeply involved with that today, but it is the beginning of coming to the end of Lent. I remember when I was a little kid, young guy, as many of you know, we were raised Catholic. That was the only religious thing we ever really did in our life was Lent. We gave up stuff for Lent. Anybody out there, wave your hands. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Gave up stuff for Lent. And we always gave up popcorn because my dad, there were five of us and we weren't real wealthy. And so a big treat for us was popcorn. And Dad make popcorn. We'd sit around and watch Bonanza. No, that was on pretty late. We didn't stay up that late to watch Bonanza. Well, Father knows best, whatever it was, and we'd eat popcorn. And we would give up popcorn for Lent every year. Every year we did it. So a little bit of spiritual training back there. And one of the things we're trying to do here is a little bit of spiritual training and use. Can I brag a minute? I got to brag. I know it's a nuts. Yeah, I'm going to brag because I want to encourage you. You see that? That's a 5-pound bag of flour. Wow. See what you're saying, Coach? Well, wait a minute. Let me reach over here again. Whoops. Oh, I can't even hardly. Can't even hardly lift it. Why? It's another 5-pound bag of flour. Say, Coach, you getting ready to cook something? No. I quit eating sugar. And 2 5-pound things of flour fell off my waist. Is that unbelievable? See, it wasn't the devil. It wasn't some demon making me do it. I just disciplined myself to stop dropping by the grampy pills every time I walk past it. Now, look, I don't know how long I could hold this. I hear people say, oh, my knees are killing me. My back hurts. Well, no wonder you're carrying around 2 5-pound bags of flour you shouldn't be carrying. Strapping it around your waist and walking around there. No wonder your knees hurt. No wonder your back hurts. Say, oh, Coach, I can't lose weight. Well, yeah, you can. You just don't have the discipline to be able to do it. So I'm here bragging about me. 5-pound bag, another 5-pound bag this morning when I got on. And next week, it's going to be another 5-pound bag. So that's what it looks like, right? And you know what's really good? When your wife says, honey, you're losing your belly. That's all I need to hear. Honey, you're losing your belly. So I didn't pray it off. I didn't cast out any demons. I just stopped eating candy. Started watching what was going in my mouth. What a difference it made. Hey, Manny Menendez, Manuel, you sent me a nice note, a nice little offering. Manuel, you said contact me. You didn't give me, Manny, I don't have an email, don't have a phone number, don't have anything. So if you're watching, man, get a hold of me, will you? Will you? Man, excited. Whew, got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on. Shatter the darkness. Now listen about this one. I got these 5 pounds sitting around. I may just put them right here, the whole shelf. Because I want to encourage you. That used to be in front. I can't even see me. Let me reach around here, man. Let me find me here on the screen. Am I here somewhere? Yeah, there I am. Yeah. That used to be me. So I'm going to keep it right beside me. I can't do that. Listen, we have made a mistake. I made a mistake. I made a horrible mistake. Russ Dizdar is coming to town here in about a month, April 24th, 25th. And we're getting the early registrations, and it's going good. And we told you that for $100, when you register for RustDizdar Conference, you get not only do you get admission to the live, and you know, you get also the video on demand. In other words, you can go home and watch all the video on demand, and you get Russ's 400-page book. Right, that's all part of the $100 pre-registration by April 5th. Have to pre-register to get it. And then all of a sudden, bong, it hit me in the head. So I want to apologize to all of you today. Let me get myself off the screen here a second. Listen, folks, made a mistake on you. If you register as a couple, it's only $150. Why, Coach? Because you both don't need a book and you both don't need the streaming. So if you registered for $200 for a pair of you, you get $50 back. And I'm telling the rest of you right now, if you register as a pair, both of you can come for $150, not $200. So I want to apologize. I got an email from somebody yesterday and they asked me that, and I never even thought about it. You don't need two books. You don't need two streaming. You live in the same house. So again, if you register by April 5th, next a week from whenever that is, that's all included, $150, okay? God, I had to make sure I got, well, let me get my stuff up here this morning. Come on, Coach, pull that up. That I did that. Now let's go here. Is that what I want?
What about the virtual?
Oh, what about the virtual? What about it?
Well, we can't go on there and just buy the virtual. We have to buy the whole package, so it doesn't seem like there's a separation.
Well, there should be a separation. What do you mean by that, Chad? I just jumped on my website because you said that to me. Hang on here. You're telling me that there's no $30 virtual? Oh, what? It says expelling the darkness, Coach Russ Dizdar. Oh, what about the virtual? What about it? Purchase live stream. Right there it is, buddy. $30. That's right on there. Hey, Chad. Chad, I'll throw you some slack because it probably wasn't on there earlier. It's one of the things I caught the other day, okay? And don't forget Chad's event. Chad, your event is when, brother?
Okay, it's April 9th, 10th, and 11th.
What about the virtual? What about it? Purchase live stream. Right there it is, buddy. Wow, somebody's got the microphone on here. Hey, me on delay, so I get to speak. Chad, I'll throw you some slack. Come on, Chad. Give it to us here, man.
All right, April 9th, 10th, and 11th. We're about a half full now, so it's okay. We're doing good. So I'm just encouraged. Look, I just hate for it. It's one of those things. I'm not really stressed about it because I have to tell you, because it's one of those things. Just tell them, don't convince them. So if you're thinking that you know what you're gonna do and everything like that, then the fellowship alone is worth it. Coming and we always have this. We're great fellowships where. You know, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then half day on Sunday, and then you guys got to leave at some point. So we always have a good time. So I just want to look forward to the event. We're having I just hate for folks to get out here and not have that training and get in a situation and not be able to do anything with it. So,
hey, Coach, folks, Chad's got to rent. He's got to rent Jiffy Johns. He's got to buy supplies. That's why I know Chad, I know Russ Dizdar, all of us would do it for free. Listen, other than ministry, I don't know where people go and expect stuff to be free. The government, yeah, they go to the government expected to be free. No, I don't know of any place else. So we're not apologizing for that. We'd love to see a lot of you there, man. A lot of good stuff. So it's all, I was going to run through everything today, but I just wanted to make it very, very, the embattled warrior, expelling the darkness. Bobby Lee's got a honking wave coming up. Kentucky. Just check this every once in a while, folks. And you just see all the great things that we have going on. And Kindred of the Kingdom and Conference Tactical Training up in Wisconsin. Man, oh, man. A year ago, remember, we couldn't do any of this stuff. They shut us down. So we're back up, fighting, running hard again. Just got to going to go to Montana. I think that's where it is. Isn't that where it is, Chad? Montana. We got invited to come and do a thing in Montana. So, man, a lot of good luck. Tennessee State House. Thank you, JR. Boy, I got to get that up there. A lot going on.
And Randy, I think, had a meeting in Oklahoma. Had a meeting this weekend.
Randy, Norm had a phone call. Ray had a phone call. I don't want to turn this show into announcements, okay? That's what, but you know, it's good to let people know. Anything, Norm, Randy, Ray, Bobby, anybody got anything for the good of the group? Liberty Mel put on a great event this weekend and at her church and trying to unify people in the state of Ohio. Talk about herding goats, trying to get everybody to quit working in their own silos and working together. We had a meeting on Saturday morning and afternoon of about, I don't know, 40, maybe more, maybe less, 40 activists from around the state that came together and were working hard to try to put a team together in that aspect. So we are poking out and doing a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. And one thing that you can agree with or not agree with, we are I don't call this radio, but we are. We're due radio. We get stuff done here, folks. And we don't apologize for it. We try to encourage all of you to get involved with it. Reggie's got something coming up on May 1st. I don't even have that on the schedule, Reggie. That's at the State House in Columbus. What's going on there, sweetheart?
Oh, we're going to be out there marching, taking back our land and dominion through Christ our Lord. But there's twofold. We're also making people aware of child trafficking and the horrors of that with satanic ritual abuse survivors as well.
Yeah, why do we want? Well, we don't even love our kids anymore, do we? We don't even love them. John Diamond wants to jump in here. Come on in, John.
Good morning.
At least he's got his hand up.
Hands hey, brother.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to testify with you. Actually, after hearing Dr. Jen at the conference out there, Dr. Mike, and I started on that, I lost exactly 10 pounds today, too. So I just want to encourage.
Listen something, John. 10 pounds is something on short guys like you and I, right, man?
Absolutely.
If I was real tall like Steve Deck, you wouldn't even notice 10 pounds. But you put 10 pounds on my waist, brother, I got to go get a new belt, right? And it's been done through what? Self-discipline, folks. Self-discipline. It's what we're talking about, have been talking about, that a lot of the problems that we're dealing with aren't the devil. It's our own flesh, our own carnal nature. We got to get victory over our own carnal nature before we're ever going to get victory over the devil. So I'm going to shut up. Somebody want to come in? Something for the good of the group? Because I got some good stuff I'm going to dig in here real quickly. Otherwise, yes, no, maybe. All right, John, a good friend, Spencer. Man, I got bit by a cat. I got to tell you this story. My wife and I were out going for a walk so we could, I could lose weight. She doesn't need to lose any weight. She needs to get a little fatter, actually. But we were out for a walk, and the stray cat's following us on this bike path that we walk on. And I mean, and he's skinny. You know, you guys may think I'm cold hearted. I'm really pretty softy, you know. And I felt really bad for this cat, so I reached down, picked him, I started petting him, and we walked on down the road about 2 miles, came back, and there he was, and he's following meow, meow. And I know he's hungry. Somebody's dropped him off, right? I don't want any more cats. We don't want a cat. I want to get rid of the one I got, you know? I don't want a cat. But my heart, you know, well, yeah. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick him up, and I'm going to take him. He's out in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to take him someplace where people live. And I'm going to give him a little bit of food, and there's a restaurant there. I'll just drop him off there, and he'll be okay. So I picked up the cat, put him in our car. It's obviously that hadn't been in a car, or the last time he'd been in a car, he'd been dropped off. He laid in the back scared to death, and so Michelle went home to get some cat food. So when I dropped him off, I gave him some food to eat, and he would hang out with somebody else and pick him up and have him because he seemed to be a nice cat. And as soon as she got out of the car, she didn't close the window. And, man, he went like a million miles an hour to get out of that car to the window. And I reached out and grabbed him. I got hold of his back legs. And I'm telling you, that dude, I thought he chewed my finger off. He turned around and hacked me. Oh, my goodness. Blood's running up. Oh, my goodness. So now he lives out in the woods. Now I don't know how I'm going to get rid of him. And Michelle's mad at me because I told you not to bring the cat home. I said, I didn't bring him home. I was going to drop him off. You left the window open. Oh, well, so anyway.
So now you won't have mice.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Now you won't have mice.
It's good, right? I don't want him in the house, though, Naomi. I don't want him in the house. I just want him to quit chewing on my finger. Go ahead. Who else? Somebody else tried to.
And Opie's going to have a partner.
Yeah, I know. Opie's fixed, thank goodness. But that Abby, my daughter, she lives up top of the hill. They did the same thing, Steve, and now they got three kittens. So, oh, my goodness. I used to just throw them in a bag and throw them in the lake. You guys all remember that? I'm not going to do that. But I do.
Oh, coach, that's horrible.
I do remember those days, Dale. I'm not going to do it. I never did it. I never did it. Hey, listen, pull it up here for me, Spencer. Satan's devices. I found this today. I want to keep in the same vein that we're in because time out. Anybody want to testify? Got victory over anything? Hey, I was so tempted yesterday. We had a birthday party here. Cake, candy, Taco Bell, cinnamon. Oh, man. I saw, well, it's birthday. I got to eat something, don't I? I didn't. Didn't eat it. So I'm on like day 16 now. No sugar. Still haven't had any. Anybody else want to testify? Myra, come on in.
Morning, Saints. How are you? So good to see you all. I always look forward to every morning. Yes. Keep having victory over gluttony. It's a hard one to fight battle, but I keep on going and it's working out. Thank you, Coach.
Isn't that little one step at a time? Hey, 1 5-pound bag at a time, baby. Right? 1 5-pound bag at a time. That's what I say. Get victory over. Rochelle, come in.
Good morning, everyone. I heard someone speaking about this Holy Spirit power, and I think he might be moving in a lot of people. I just see a lot of other people talking about this and feeling the same thing and tackling their quote unquote demons or whatever it is they're battling. And I don't know, something about this time, I just feel like this, you know, don't fall down now. This is the time. You've got this now. And I think we're just drawing on everybody's power, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. Thank you so much, Kurt. I feel like you kicked the ball off to his coach, and we're just running with it now.
That's right. And every one of you, you know, you're dealing with a lot of it, maybe really, really personal stuff you don't want to talk about. But we do know this, right? We do understand that we have these besetting sins, these things that hold us back, man. And hey, mine's not just sugar. But you know what happens? Now I'm getting the confidence to move to another one. Confidence to move to another one, right? And that's the way it is. And then we have to be careful. See, this is a lifestyle change, and it's really hard to do because I think, well, if I could just go another week, then I can go back and eat some candy. I can get some Grampy pills again. If I just make it a week, then I can go back to Grampy pills. Yeah. And then here it comes, right? So it's a lifestyle change, whatever it is, whether it's sloth, whether it's gluttony, whatever it is that you're dealing with, folks, it's got to be a lifestyle change, because many of you know, after now what's been a couple of weeks, you can do it. You can say no to these things that you haven't been able to say no to. You can do it. So we have to then broaden it, right? Remember, it's battleground of the mind. I'm going to get into that. But Tony wants to jump in here real quick. Come on in, Tony.
Okay, Coach. Faith without works. Yeah. You got to do your part. And I've had my battle with food, and it stemmed back to making food my friend when I was a preteen. And so in the whole struggle of it, I decided to make an appointment with integrative medicine, where they do a blood test and figure out what your vitamin deficiencies is and all that. That way my body isn't looking for me to overeat to get the nutrition it's lacking.
Amen. I'm with you, Tony. Listen, folks, food's just the easy one to do, right? There's all. Hey, listen, some of you guys, you're hooked on your cell phone. Give me a thumbs up. Say, oh, you hit me there, Coach. You hit me there. Some of you are hooked on sports. Some of you, right? It's all carnal behaviors, folks. Programming. I'm going to show you something here. I made my notes today, and here's what I want you to think about this. Mind control. That's really what we're, I beseech you therefore, Romans 12. Could you put that up there real quick for me, Spencer? Romans 12. We're told not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, aren't we? Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good the acceptable and perfect will of God. So the battleground for all of these things we're talking about, before we even get into the demonic realm, the battleground's in our mind and our ability to say yes and our ability to say no. That's really what it is. And because those of us who love the truth, 2 Thessalonians, real quickly, if you can throw that up there for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, maybe. Let's try if it's not 2. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together in him, that you be not soon shaken. Where? Soon shaken where, Steve? Be not so soon shaken where, Naomi? Be not soon so shaken where, Jim? Where, Jeff? Where should you not be so soon shaken? In the mind? In your mind? Or be troubled? Neither by spirit. Ooh. So we got mind and spirit? To be not troubled in mind, neither by spirit. Oh, now wait a minute. Nor by word? You mean words can trouble you? Are you kidding me? So we see that we're going to be shaken in our mind and be troubled in our spirit by words. Right? Nor by letter as from us as that day of Christ is at hand. So Paul's saying right here, hey, here's how you guys are getting off track. He said, let no man deceive you. How do they deceive you? What a weapon. Let no man deceive you. We're talking about not being soon shaken in mind. And Paul says, you're going to be soon shaken in mind because they're going to come along. They're going to deceive you. They're going to deceive you. They're going to teach you. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Don't be shaken about that, because let no man deceive you, for the day shall not come except come a falling away first. Time out. Falling away from what? You say, well, coach, from the following of the faith. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And although this is editorial, meaning this is the gospel of I say it, I think that falling away is nothing more than falling away from the truth. I don't care what it is. I don't think it's necessarily falling away from the second epistle of Peter or the book of Revelation or once saved, always saved. I don't think it's the falling away of people flopping out of churches, dropping out of churches. I don't think that's what it is. I think it some man's come along and deceived us. He deceived us by any means. And what's happened? This has come a falling away from the truth. I inserted truth. That's what we're dealing with. And that man of sin going to be revealed. I know some of you guys are busted to get in here. Hang on. I've been preparing this all morning. And what's he do? Well, he opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, what is God? Jesus is what? The truth. The truth. So how's the enemy going to attack us? Why, the enemy is going to attack us through untruth, through lies, deception. It's the only way he can... Hey, folks, listen to me. It's the only way the devil can get you is through deception. It's the only way. It says, look at this. Oh, man, let no man deceive you. By any means, for that day shall not come except people quit believing the truth. And when they quit believing the truth, that man of sin is going to be revealed. To who? To those people who don't believe the truth. That's who he's been revealed to. And what does he do? Why, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. And who's God? Truth. All that is worship, truth. So that he sits, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Because why? Because the devil's convincing us of lies. We're believing lies. Wow. Remember you not that when I was with you, I warned you about these things? You guys remember me telling you that? So what's going to happen? Verse 6. And now you know that he that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will. Only the truth will be removed. Does anybody think I'm taking poetic license when I'm saying that? The man of perdition for the mystery iniquity of the other at work, only he who now stands for truth will be taken out of the way. When one who stands for truth is taken out of the way, then the wicked is going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Powers, lying wonders. Powers, signs, lying wonders. With all deceivableness and of unrighteousness, and then that believe that perish, because they receive not what? The love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth. And so if you think you're fat because of a devil, well then you're never gonna get over it. You're believing something that's not true. And so this cause, what's gonna happen? Well, God's gonna send them a strong delusion. And what's that strong delusion? I don't believe a lie. So I wrote these things down here today because I think it's important. If all of us in this queue would go back a little bit in our own time. You remember when we used to trust science? Raise your hand when you trusted science. Come on. Raise your hand when we used to trust science. Do we trust science anymore? No, because we've fallen under a strong delusion. See, Satan has co-opted science. How's he co-opted science? Money. He's bought off the scientists. Satan goes to somebody and says, hey, could you find some evidence for me of racism? And so they pay some guy, some researcher, and he goes out does a bunch of surveys and a bunch of things. And all of a sudden he comes back with a bunch of evidence of racism. Is evidence truth and proof? No, not truth. Not even proof. It's just evidence. And so what's happened all along now, they've been trying to tell you and me that America is a bad place to live because why? Well, we're racist. Without any proof. Oh, they got evidence. I can go find evidence. But evidence isn't proof. Yet our entire governmental system has now bought into what? The idea of racism. What's that thing they teach, critical theory? That's all lies. It's all lies about racism. It's all lies. And what was that? What happened? Because we received not the love of the truth, a strong delusion's come our way. I wrote some other things down here. They want us to believe that our voting system, as it was rigged. That voting system, even though they wrote down the laws that you had to go and show up on the second Tuesday in November and vote, now they changed that. They changed that. Why? Well, because people couldn't do that. Well, people couldn't do that. And so they convinced all of us that our voting system was rigged so they could rig it. Stay with me, okay? Why? Because we don't love the truth. We don't demand evidence anymore. You can create all kinds of testimony. Doesn't mean it's true. What about, what about what happened on January 6th? All of us were there. No, that entire thing's a lie. What happened January 6th in Washington, D.C., yet it's now become truth. It's now become scientific proof. We now have legislators making laws against what didn't happen on January 6th, saying that it did happen because they had evidence of it. Did they have proof? No, they had evidence. In fact, we found out this weekend that now the FBI and the CIA, whoever they are, they've been overcharging people. In other words, they arrest people who went to Washington, D.C. and then overcharge them. In other words, everything's falling apart because they upped the ante. The legal system did. Hang on, about done. Another thing about trannies. They just approved a dude who dresses, looks like a lady, or whatever that song goes. We have some dude, some mentally ill dude who's now in charge of health and second line health and human services. Some dude, everybody looking at this guy. Everybody looking at this guy knows he's a man dressing as a dude. And nobody else say anything about it. Why? Because we've been programmed. We don't love the truth anymore. So they send a strong delusion. They tell us he's a man. And he goes and sits in Congress. And nobody in Congress says, sir, I think you're sick, sir. I think you're sick. In fact, sir, 25, 30 years ago, what you are suffering right now was a mental illness before they came up with voodoo science. And the voodoo science told us that 10% of the population was gay without any evidence, no proof, no. They just told us that. And they told us that our children were struggling. Young children, 5 and 6 years old, are struggling with whether they're a man or a woman. And we believe it. We believe this voodoo science without any proof. We incorporated into governmental laws without any. Folks, do you see what's going on? You see what's going on? What else I write down here? They told us gays were 10% of the population. There's no evidence. Here, are you ready for this? Ask yourself this. If gays are 10% of the population, over the course of your life, how many people do you know? Would everybody say, I know 500 people? Rochelle, you know 500 people? Do you know 500 people? On your life, you know, anybody know 1,000 people? Say, if I started writing them all down, yeah, I know 1,000 people. Then that means 100 of them are gay? Yeah. Folks, do you believe that? The 100 of the 1,000 people you know, 100 of them are gay? That's stupid, isn't it? No, it's now law. It's now absolute common knowledge. It's science. It's become science, right? They told you that you could kill a baby in the womb because it wasn't a person. Wasn't a person. And that it's legal. Even though there's no law ever legalizing abortion, we follow that law. You say, but it's not a law. Well, it doesn't matter because we think it is. Why? Because we don't love the truth anymore. Because we don't love the truth, this strong, the spirit of delusion, it's coming from everywhere. And see, I ate a Grampy pill and gained 10 pounds and want to say the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make me do it. And because of that, we receive not the love of the truth. I got another one about abortion, right? Abortion's going to make a woman's life better. A woman has a right to choose. All propaganda, all lies, none of it based on science. And yet it becomes, hey, will you speak out against homosexuality? What would happen to you if you stood up in your church on Sunday and spoke out against homosexuality? Boo! Boo! Homophobe! Bigot! Yes? No. Yes. So who are supposed to be the purveyors of truth? And who, better yet, is a purveyor of lies? Who, by the way, was called the father of lies? And can somebody tell me why we now have in America laws based on a preponderance of lies? I know why. Because those of us who love the truth don't speak up and say anything about it. We let it go on. You don't stand up and say, that dude that they just put in, that guy ought to be in a mental hospital. Somebody in the Senate should have stood up and said, that cross-dressing guy should have been in a mental hospital. Every one of us sitting here in Congress, every one of us sitting here, look at that guy and know he's a cross-dressing dude. We all know it. But we're going to go along with the charade, right? We're going to go along with the charade and say, oh, no, he's Miss so-and-so. And you have to have the right pronoun. Yeah, are you guys picking it up here? See, this is the assault of the wicked one. It's the assault of the wicked one on our minds. Those of us who have, see, we have been so programmed that we will not speak the truth. Can somebody tell me why? Well, of course you can, because they told you the truth is hateful. And you're Christians, and Christians love, Christians don't hate. And when you speak the truth, it sounds like hate. So therefore, you're not allowed to say it anymore. And they're going to close down churches over hate. They're going to do it. Not over hate, over words, over beliefs, over science, over real science. Boy, I'm on the roll today, aren't I? Huh? Hey, give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, you are so nailing it right now, Coach. Huh? Yep. And it's everywhere we look. See, listen. They have been so good at it, they've convinced most Americans that public education is good for them. Most Americans believe that. Most pastors believe that, right? Because why? It's the heart of Satan. Deception. Lies. Deception. I got a bunch of you want to get in here. I'm not nearly done. What do I do here, Lord? What do I do, Lord? Okay, real quickly. I'm going to get y'all in, I promise you. Real quickly. Go what you had up there. Hold up there for me, Spencer. What was that before? Satan's devices. I just found this real quick today, and I'm going to run down it, and we'll put it in the chat, and you can look at it later. I just found this morning, and I don't know how accurate it was, but it sure felt good to me. Satan's devices. How does Satan work? Slide down to number one because I want to get everybody else. Basically, there's six devices. Number one, subtlety. Satan is subtle. He never, in fact, the Bible says he comes to you as an angel of light. He makes it sound good. It feels good. And so he comes with all subtlety and sneaks in. And the next thing you know, you've accepted something because it was served to you as something else. Satan dresses as an angel of light, subtlety. Number two, next one. You can read all this. I'll put it in the chat. Number two, ignorance. Ignorance. People think Joe Biden's a Catholic and he's going to rescue babies. That's ignorance. People think, what? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Satan works through ignorance. Hath God said, the first question ever asked by our enemy. The devil always, always challenges truth. Does the Bible really say? Did God really say? Is that really sin? The Bible's full of contradictions. Ignorant. Because we don't know upon which we stand, the enemy is a... Did you guys know this? Did you know that when you go into a mosque, you're going to find out that in the mosque, they teach Muslims how to attack the Bible? So that when you're out on the street and you're having a conversation with a Muslim, they ask you questions about the Bible that are contradictions or appear to be contradictions, and the average person has no idea how to counter them. Ignorance. Number three. Wow, this is good stuff. Well, you ain't going to find this in your church. Can I tell you why? Because most of the pastors, they're stuck on these things. Doubt. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe, am I wrong? Maybe we should accept a homosexual pastor or youth leader or a choir director. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been looking at it wrong. Maybe they really are born that way. And, you know, I know Joey, and Joey was, he was always like that from the time. See, we don't even think about demonic influences, curses. We don't even think about any of that, right? No. Just doubt. God really say. Next one, number four. Pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good, simple stuff. That's how the devil gets all of us. Pride. Oh, boy. I'm not going to stand up in church and speak the truth about sleeping around because people are going to say something to me, and it's going to hurt my feelings, and everybody's going to be against me. I'm not going to do that. I want to be known as loving and caring. And you with me, huh? Who are you to judge, huh? What about your life? So pride. Number five. Go on. I'll get y'all in here, I promise. Pleasure. Sin feels good for a while, doesn't it? Feels good for a while. I can get away with it till I can't get away with it. Oh, give me a grampy pill. Give me five grampy pills. I can eat all this candy and it won't bother me. It won't affect me. It won't. And then I get up with diabetes. I can't walk around anymore. My wife's got to bathe me. Somebody say amen, because I'm just telling you the truth here, right? Pride, guilt. Six, guilt. Guilt, yeah, that's a divide of Satan. And because you're doing it, because you're looking at porn, you're guilty and you won't speak up about anything else because you're not doing it out of a clean heart. Number six, guilt. Guilt. So the devil's using all these devices against us, and we as Christians, we don't even understand. We don't even understand how to fight back, push back. Jim, come on in, then Craig, then Tim, then Tony. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry, I hit you fast there, brother.
That's right. 2 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11. Godly sorrow. For the godly sorrow brings repentance, brings salvation that leads to repentance and leaves no regrets. But worldly sorrow brings death. And then verse 11 talks about what happens when you use the godly sorrow. It says what diligence you have, what clearing of yourself. We can clear ourselves. What indignation, what fear, what zeal, and all these things, you're considered clean in this matter. We do clean ourselves up when we have vertical sorrow.
Yes, sir.
You know, if it's horizontal sorrow, you're just trying to please men. But the vertical sorrow is what changes us.
You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me, Jim? Wow. I'm holding up my flower again. And the Holy Spirit said, he really did, said this. Are you trying to lose weight so you look better? Or are you trying to lose weight to honor my temple?
Amen. We always
say, wow, Lord. Pride's always in the middle, isn't it? Pride's always in the middle. Oh, man, I hit that one right in the head. Come on, Craig. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to talk about the science aspect of what you're talking about.
All right.
And my lecture that I put up together a few years ago called Climate Chaos, when I was investigating, I was listening to the people. What happens is the science is funded by government grants, and government grants are written to basically come up with the outcome of what they're trying to
they
do.
They pay for their outcome. They're not paying to have a research done that proves them wrong, are they, Craig?
No, so where science was applicable back in Newton's day and those who were really trying to find the truth, okay, now it's changed into, it's more involved in getting money for your university, making sure that, you know, a lot of these people that work in these environments are on contracts, okay? So if their contracts are coming up on one thing, well, if I need to make $150,000, I need to get into the next contract.
Craig, you mean that those who are studying gender studies, they don't want to prove that it's not real? They want to prove it's real, right?
Well,
they're getting paid to prove it's real.
They want to be awarded the next grant.
Ah, I gotcha.
Because their income is coming to an end because they're only on like a 2 year. They're only hired for 2 years. Follow this through.
Yep. I'm following it. Tim and Naomi, one of you.
It's me. So along with what Craig said, we know multiple scientists, science researchers who have left very good paying jobs because of that very reason. They were being told what to study and what to report. And these people are truth seekers, and they got tired of being told what to study and what to report. And as far as the population believing, look at the conversation about Nike shoes that went on. How many people saw that as absolute truth? How many people are taking pharmaceutical drugs right now because of what a commercial on TV said? And there is no proof. They have no proof that it works, no proof that it's real. So, yeah, we have been programmed for the last 50 or 60 years.
Battleground of the mind. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, bring up Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Bring our good old buddy, the world's greatest athlete, 1976. Bring him up on the screen here if you can. No, just type in Bruce Jenner. Just type him in. See what we come up with. J-E-N-N-E-R. Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Right there. Click on it. Says Caitlyn Jenner over here to the right. Click on that picture of Caitlyn. Now, does anybody think that's a woman? Anybody here think that's a woman? Yet every one of us call him a woman. Now, can somebody explain to me why you would call him a woman? He was on the Wheaties box. See if you can find that, Spencer. See if you can find Bruce Jenner on the Wheaties box or Bruce Jenner winning the decathlon. They probably have cleansed the internet, so it's not even there. And there's Bruce Jenner. But every one of you sees a woman. Now, you tell me that's not a delusion? Huh? You tell me there's not something wrong with us, folks? That those of us who know better, go along with the charade? That this lady now who's serving as a lady? Can you pull her name up there? What's her name? What's his name? Does anybody know? No, nobody knows. Health and Human Services. What's his name? And we're calling him a man or woman. We're calling him a woman.
The men.
We are. We're calling him a woman. Hey, folks, you are. I am. There it is. Do we have a picture of before and after? There it is. What a beautiful woman he is. Not. Sorry. Not.
You know what?
But you all believe it. You won't stand up and say anything against it. Why? Pride? I don't know why. Ignorance? Anybody in the right mind think this dude's not sick? You're not allowed to say it, see? It's how they manipulate us. It's how they control us. Hey, let's go down. There's got to be a before and after picture of him. Do you guys know he has two kids? Do you know this guy has two children? Do you know this woman has two biological children he produced out of his penis? Do you guys know that? And they tell us he's a woman and we believe it. That's not
the case. He's not the mother of either one of them.
One, two, three. Fourth one over at the top. Fourth one over. Fourth, next one. There you are. There he is. There he is. Richard Levine. There he is. Nope. Sorry. He's Rachel Levine. He's not Rachel Levine, right? Hey, and you dummies believe it.
Hey, she ugly.
Yeah, he was better looking as a man, but right? Folks, do you understand? You understand what Satan has done to us? You understand the battleground of the mind? And we won't even stand up and say anything against. We go along and act like this is normal. Christians act like it's normal because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. When all this is about is the destruction of the way things normally are done. The destruction of normal. There is no normal anymore.
That's Dave?
Yeah.
That's how do children who have great perception, how do children believe anything any of us say when they can look at a man dressed as a woman and we're stupid enough to address him as a woman? Those children are looking at us. We're not going to believe anything you say. You're a moron.
Well, Jack, you send them to public schools where they teach it.
Yeah.
Come on in, Tony.
Okay, Coach. Galatians 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, remember Satan was an angel that came from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. This is all another gospel. And it started in the garden. They preached the serpent through Satan, preached another gospel than what God preached to Adam and Eve. And all this stuff is another gospel. And also I want to address this weekend. Remember I told you that this weekend with my house meeting, I preached on the Passover. And we read Exodus 11 through 13 about the last plague and how they put the lamb's blood over the doorpost and the side post. And it protected them from the angel of death. And it went on to say that, you know, you're to celebrate this forever. And so we went through the house with an anointing oil as the blood of Christ. And the front door, there was a demon at our front door. There was a demon in the basement. My daughter's closet. You know, I had my kids do their own rooms with me accompanying them. And then when I went to bed that night, I see my daughter and granddaughter coming out of the room, and there's a Nike shirt on the floor. And she said, Dad, there was a demon on this thing. And it's like we look up Nike, and it was a demon goddess through the Greek.
Okay, you know,
your home. They sneak in your home. You can't buy a Happy Meal without a demon attached to the toys. They go after our youth.
Folks, listen. God bless you, Tony. I agree with what you're saying. Listen, you can put blood on the doorpost and lint all you want to. We're opening up all kinds of openings to the enemy. It's not just our doorposts and lintel. It's not just our windows. Every time through the eye gate and the ear gate, and the natural senses. It's what I'm trying to get every one of us to understand. We are being attacked, not so much by demons, although we are not getting victory over our carnal man and our carnal nature. If we could shut down the power of the carnal man to get us to do what we don't want to do, we would be surprised the victory we would be able to get over the spiritual aspect of it. But we don't want to just fight and get victory over our carnal man. I'm not disagreeing with you, Tony. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right. And I'm not disagreeing with you either. But the thing of when you say it's not demons and stuff, well, the thing is when you live carnally, you open the door for legal rights for demons. So
amen.
You have to do your part. If you don't do your part, you'll never get rid of them.
Amen. Rachel, come on in. And Reggie.
Okay. Yes, you put it together very nicely just there, Coach. If it's in the Bible, it is Satan's job to disprove it. And he uses science to do that. And a part of the reason it works is because people do not want to have accountability to a creator God. Amen. So we go along with what we want to hear. And that's where they win. And that's where the doors are opened. And that's where God's people are destroyed.
So I've said this, Rochelle, if somebody had $1 billion to the first person who could prove the reality of God, the first person who could prove scientifically that God exists, we'd have a proof for it right now. If we were paying money for people, well, hang on, I understand, it's by faith. I get it, right? But the evidence of proof of God is overwhelming, but we hire scientists to prove he doesn't exist. Our research takes us just the opposite direction.
Absolutely. We have DNA, which is a language that proves there was somebody who wrote it, that has a system that can read its own self. If you have a language, somebody create it. There's your proof.
There's your proof. But we're in a delusion. Come on, Reggie, then Larry, then Roger. Go ahead, Reg.
I'm probably not going to say anything that anybody hasn't already said, maybe, but I just wanted to add a little caveat there. Briefly, going back, people are not understanding what has happened to our government system. They control everything, medical, everything, you name it. Well, what happened was during the World War II, when we had the Nuremberg trials, those scientists during the trials, they were, and the officers, they were never killed. They were never executed. It was a plan with the help of our government at that time. And those scientists were experts at mind control. They knew how to, and also to support it with propaganda, with all the senses, with visuals. So all these years with TV, the medical field, those guys are up there in the medical field with
public
the things
schools.
That they're it's supporting the whole Luciferian system of mind control and to cap. They use the senses. So yeah, that's what we're a product of now at this point.
Larry, come on then, and Roger, come on, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say that dude calling himself a woman with HHS claims to be the, has two children. Well, I will guarantee you one thing: that DNA we've been talking about will not show that he is their mother.
Amen. Can't show it. Roger.
I think where we is from people not wanting to come under a God, and I think there was a time that was hardcore, but now I don't know if that's as strong as, oh, there is a God, but he loves me and I can kind of do what I want.
Yeah. It's the same deception for sure, right? It's the same deception. And so again, folks, we go back to 2 Thessalonians. What shook him? It says, not be so easily shaken. Let no man deceive you. Folks, who's been deceived? The church or the world? The world's already fallen into deception. They're lost before we ever get started. But who's being deceived? Who has been shaken in mind and troubled by the Spirit and troubled by the Word? Who? The church. Who is the, what's the word I'm looking for? Who's the barrier that stands between the world and the kingdom of God? It's the church. We are the barrier. We are that last bastion fighting and defending and standing for truth. But we're not. Why? Because we've lost the battleground of the mind. We believe, or at least remain silent on very obvious lies. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you know that the theory of evolution, Charles Darwin, you know it's still a theory? Why is it a theory of evolution? Well, because it's like the scientific theory of intelligent design. It's a theory. There is no proof to it. Yet is that what's taught in our schools? Do you send your child to any school, anywhere, where they're taught that they were created in the image of God? Now, I can tell you this. Even in Christian schools, they teach evolution. They teach evolution. So we teach evolution. Why? Because in order to become a doctor, you have to buy into the world system, don't you? Strong delusion. They believe a lie. Oh, my mama. I don't know how I got on this today, but do this. Say, Coach, you are all over today. Give me a thumbs up. Say, you are, man, are you ever all over it? And the problem is, see, that's the battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, evil spirits in high places. And what are those evil spirits in high places trying to do? They're attacking the truth. They are destroying the truth. They're convincing us Bruce Jenner's a woman. They're convincing us 10% of the population are homosexual. They're convincing us that you're born that way. They're convincing us that a little baby isn't a human being. They're convincing us the government's here to help. Everything they're convincing us of is a lie, and those of us who bear the truth will not oppose it. We won't oppose it. We won't. Why? Because we've been convinced. Okay, Rochelle, come on in.
Yeah, everything that you're talking about today, just wanted to make a comment on the evolution. Never have animals created new information within their genetic makeup. Never. Not one example.
No evidence of it at all.
Birds don't get four legs. Cats don't have gills. None of this has ever happened.
Folks, listen. If they really did real scientific evidence, they would prove evolution didn't work. There's no transitional fossils. The things that have to be there aren't there. And yet, see, you know what they say to us? Well, you guys are coming from a religious perspective, as if evolution's not a faith-based system, right? So it's not that you're not allowed to have faith-based systems. It's going to be which faith-based system is going to be accepted by the people. That's what it is. And we are teaching. Listen, I'm one of your best friends. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you send your kid to the public schools, they're teaching your kids lies. Everything we're talking about here, they're teaching your kid. Well, say, what are you talking about? Well, let me pull back up here. Ask yourself this: when you send them to public schools, are they teaching your kids that the racism, that the voting is cheated, that you can trust the scientific method, that people at January 6th was an insurrection, that trannies are now the different sex, that gays are 10% of the population, that abortion is legal and has no God. Everything the devil has taught us, we're teaching our children. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's all right. Just go ahead and repent. Say, you're right, Coach. You're right. You're right. They are. And so the battleground is and continues to remain in the mind. It's no wonder our kids are confused. It's no wonder. It's no wonder. I heard my daughter trying to explain to our 10-year-old granddaughter homosexuality. I think she kind of gets it, but how do you explain that to a kid? How do you explain that when they don't even really appreciate the whole sex experience, sex act, all that? Not yet, anyway, right? And try to explain to some child that man wants to be married to another man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Good, Jack.
My wife. Get ready. You're going to get hammered.
No. Hi, Coach. Good morning. Hey. This is Cindy. I just wanted to say about the battle with the flesh. Well, I've got two things to say. Jack and I used to take our children, I don't know, five or six of them at a time, and we'd go cross country and go to all those monuments. And I was outraged. This is 20 some years ago. Every monument, everywhere we went, had these Darwinism, the evolution, everywhere. I mean, and we were homeschooling our children. I was outraged. I was like, where is this coming from? Who put this up here? Who made this law? I mean, and nobody could answer my question. But the other thing I want to say is the battle about renewing our mind, Psalm 141:8, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to any evil, to practice wicked deeds with men who do iniquity, and do not let my let me eat of their delights. Let the righteous man strike me, it shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it shall be oil of my head. I'm not going to go on, but I think the point is we don't watch our lips. I love Charles Capps. He's gone to be with the Lord, but the tongue is really the is one of the battles we face. I mean, we are sloppy with our mouths. We just don't watch the words we say. And honestly, that's a lot. Many times we trip up by giving place to the enemy by speaking.
Okay. Listen, I'm with you. God bless you. I got to run. Hey, listen, I'm out of time. I got to go color some Easter eggs for my grandchildren. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.